Each Thursday, we read from your letters, and many of you wrote about our coverage of the case of Terry Schiavo in Florida and the law passed there authorizing Governor Jeb Bush to order that the brain-damaged woman's feeding tube be reconnected.
Listener Ann O'Hara found our coverage one-sided. She writes, "The entire segment was devoted to the kind and compassionate, totally ethical devotees of euthanasia. You usually pay lip service to an opposing view. What happened?"
And Therese Tayson of Matthews, North Carolina, adds this, "The issue is not Terry Schiavo's right to die. What is being argued is whether her husband should be legally able to have her killed in a manner that would be challenged as cruel and inhumane were it used on even the most vile death row offender. You're not talking about Terry Schiavo's right to anything. What you are talking about is depriving her of every right she has."
Our story about Wesley Clark and his support and opposition in the military troubled Eric Swanson of Austin, Texas, specifically the critical comments of Clark's former boss, Lieutenant General Paul Funk. Mr. Swanson writes, "I consider it highly insulting and just plain bad taste for a soldier to be so determined to undermine the reputation of another soldier as to say, 'I don't know if I would trust him in combat.' There is probably nothing worse that a soldier could say about one of his colleagues. If anybody wants to know whether General Clark can be trusted in combat, maybe they should talk to somebody in the unit he saved in Vietnam."
"I listened with interest to your story about oxygen masks for pets," writes Jason Herring. He's referring to our conversation about San Mateo County in California outfitting its fire departments with masks to resuscitate dogs and cats. Mr. Herring, a paramedic in Portland, Oregon, finds this an unwise use of funds. He writes, "Will pet owners expect the 911 system to care for their sick and injured pets as well? In the future, will I be risking my life, traveling in my ambulance with lights and sirens on, to go to the scene of a Scotty who's having difficulty breathing? Will emergency medicine come to the point where we will have doggy defibrillators, pot-bellied pig thermometers, and goldfish IVs? And perhaps most importantly, will pets be using emergency rooms as access points for health care? I'm sensing a national pet health care crisis on the horizon. Please tell me it's just a California thing."
Well, apparently it's not, because we also heard from Rich Blair, who is a volunteer EMT in Grafton, New Hampshire, and he says, "Last year I attained a small amount of local notoriety when a photo of my hand administering oxygen to a chameleon and a snake at a fire scene made the front page of the local paper. In an ideal future, we can be equipped with masks and tools for all kinds of wee beasties."
Please send your comments on our program to atc@npr.org. And don't forget to let us know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.